Welcome to Washington Defender, Pastor to Pastor. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. I am so glad that you're here today. We're going to dive into God's Word together, look at some announcements, and do those kind of things that we can strengthen each other and brainstorm together. Hey, if you enjoy these shows, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. Or if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Remember, the app is a great place for conservative minds to come together and think about how do we reach our neighbors, how do we come in connection with each other and share conservative thinking and biblical values and just really develop together as a movement. So let's dive in today. We're going to talk about being the duty of man. And have you thought about that? What is your responsibility as a man, as a woman, as a person in our culture? And really, how do we move forward and how do we teach our people that we're entrusted with by God to do the same? And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. The first one comes from Ecclesiastes. It says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." He gives us three things there, and we're going to break those down. Fear God, keep his commandments, duty of man, the whole duty of man. So let's talk about the fear of God. We're always going to be afraid of something. And if we don't have a fear of God, we're going to have a fear of finances, a fear of man, a fear of our spouse, a fear of whoever, our kids. You know, we don't know who it might be, but we're going to always fear something. And he says, I want you to understand this, that the end of the matter, all has been heard. We've looked at all the other things of life, but here's what I want to tell you. Have a fear of God or an awe of God. Think about that for a moment. What does the fear word mean? It means reverence or respect or be afraid of. To look at and say awesome, that word awe, awesome. To be feared, make afraid or frightened. So in this case, it's talking to us about having the awe of God. And having been in ministry for over 28 years, I know that it's easy for us to lose the awe of God. And it's easy just to become routine and simply making it through and thinking about the next strategy or the next thing that we can do. But have we sat in the presence of Almighty God and said, "Lord, I'm in awe of you," and just basked in his presence with the Word of God open and just allow him to speak to us, to our hearts, to our minds today? And so rejuvenating and revitalizing that awe of God within our hearts. I can tell you this, if you're feeling burnt out or maybe frustrated or what would be the word? Downhearted or disappointed or depressed, is it possible or is it probable that somehow you've had a fear of man more than a fear of God? I know when the Holy Spirit comes in and he encourages you, and he strengthens you, and he's speaking to your heart. And I've been there. I've been there over the 28 years where I've tried to please everyone. I've tried to do it all so that I can make everyone happy. And I remember at one point it hit me. I just need to make one happy, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how do I have a fear of him? In Psalm 25:12, it says, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose." So this ties in the very idea with a question. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. I know as a pastor, there could be 1,000 choices. There could be 1,000,000 choices. There could be a ton of things that could go on in your mind and in your heart. And you're trying to figure out, do I listen to the elders? Do I listen to the deacons? Do I listen to this guy who supposedly has church growth or this guy who, you know, does that, this or that? And the reality is having a fear of God, a fear or reverence for Almighty God, he will then give you instruction in which ways you should go. Burnout can be a high, and I know this for myself. I'm not preaching at you today. I'm speaking that the things I've learned about myself. I would get burnt out when I would try to figure out who to listen to. And yes, we need to take wise advice from others. Yes, we need to get good counsel. Yes, we need to do that. But ultimately, the end of the day is God has placed you as a shepherd over your flock to lead them in the way of righteousness and holiness and to walk out the word of God on a daily basis. That's the reality. And if somehow we can find a way to make that the most important thing, to put aside a lot of the, you know, growth programs and the this, that, and the other thing and the coddling programs and the, you know, I don't know. Is it really about all that, or is it about pleasing and doing what he has instructed us to do? Look at this scripture in Isaiah. It says, "And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the people and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked." Now, I know there's some parts of this you may be going, what does that mean? I'm not going to unpack the whole thing, and I'll let you do that for yourself. But his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Do you have a delight in having a reverence of Almighty God, of working at pleasing him and him alone, and knowing that God is with you no matter what you do, that he is, you have an audience of one? Do you delight in that reverence? Or is our leadership more an opinion poll of what the people think or the people want, or what would the people say, or how would the people feel? I want you to have a fear of God that says, God, how do you feel? God, where's my reverence for you? And again, I'm not saying being stubborn or stuck in your ways or not being teachable or, you know, those kind of things. I am saying, let's talk to Almighty God and get his direction first. So we need to keep his commandments. We need to fear him and keep his commandments. Now, Jesus made these commandments very simple. Love God, love others, right? I mean, we have the commandments in the Old Testament. We have the gospel message. We have all these things that God has provided to direct us about sin. One is a payment for sin. The other is our tutor to lead us to Christ. I should have said that the opposite way. One is our tutor to lead us to Christ, and the other one is a payment for sin, the gospel. But we see that this commandment is not burdensome. We know that he disciplines, that we need to discipline our bodies and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And I would just say to you today, no matter what you're going through, you have an audience of one. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Almighty God. That is who you will stand before on Judgment Day and give an account to, is the King. Now, I'm going to say it the third time, I think it's been. I'm not saying be stubborn and say, oh, God told me, so I'm going to go do something X, Y, and Z. I am saying that ultimately hearing from God through his word and being directed and living to please him and him alone, that's the main thing. That's the key thing. When we give a higher account as teachers and preachers of God's word, it's not going to be an account to the angels or to the people in heaven. It's going to be an account to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. I love this from 1 Corinthians about love. That love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. They will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love never, ever fails. It bears up underneath all things and believes all things and hopes all things. Is your hope in the Lord or in yourself or in the people? So what is our whole duty? It says that in all this, this commandment, obviously to love God, to love others, to make sure that we're not disqualified at the end of the day, what is our entire duty that we work through? And different translations have made those words different, like all people, all duty. The ESV chose duty, I believe, because it says this particular Hebrew word means the idea of inclusive behavior of all things, everything that we would have, that it's the sampling of help. And so when it says obey all the commandments, this is our whole responsibility, or everything that we can do is to fear God and keep his commandments. And so am I saying that the commandments save you? No, you're saved by grace through faith. Am I saying that the commandments paid the price for you? Nope. It's your duty to lead you to Christ. James is clear that by our works, we will show the faith that's at work inside of us. And that's what I'm saying to you. Read the book of James if you want more on that. So let's talk about our outreach. There's a whole calendar for you. to help you reach out into the community and to help get you involved in what God is doing in and through you. I know it's pretty small print on your screen right now, but if you go to fpiw.org and then you look at /outreach, I'll show you how to get there in just a second, but it will bring you to this, and it gives you that this is National Educator Month. That's what we've called it. So let me go over to that on the website and just show you how to get there. If you go here, Public Square Ministries, scroll on down to Outreach Ministry right there, and you'll get to this calendar, and it will begin to show you. So you can look at it, and we're working on education right now, and so this is a great resource. Just had it reviewed by Sarah Olson, one of our educators who does a great job, and Cameron McDaniel, one of our outreach pastors. And when I say our, they're friends of mine. And so just really check that out. We want to make sure that our educators are blessed, that we honor them, and that we help them in any way. Because there's a lot of Christian educators that, you know, are in a pickle right now with what our state laws are and that kind of thing. Also want to encourage you to pray for all those in authority, that we want to intercede for those in our community with practical steps on how to do that. That is also on the website as well, if you prefer to do it this way. Public Square Ministry, Prayer Ministries, and you can go down to All in Authority and check that out. You know, there's a lot of great, great information there. Praying for fathers, mothers, you know, we need to uphold and uplift those in authority from the family unit all the way up to the governor and to the church unit, all that. So anyone who has authority, we need to, you know, we need to be praying for. So check that out. Let me pray for you that we'll have a fear of God and keep God's commandment and fulfill our duty in Christ. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the pastors that are listening today. Lord, I do know that sometimes burnout and frustration and a fear of man can creep in. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to walk in the things that you have for us, to go before us in all things, to surround us. And God, that you would simply be able to speak to our hearts and to our minds, that we would not have a fear of man, but we would have an awe of you, God. God, that we would have a reverence for you, and that we would live for the audience of one, fulfilling our whole duty to please you, to honor you, to speak the things that you would have us to speak. And so, God, give us boldness and courage as we enter the pulpits this week. Go before us in all things and surround us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't become a financial partner with FPIW, I want to encourage you with your home missions budget to, you know, consider picking us up on a monthly basis of $25, $100 a month. We really need your support to keep our daily devotions coming out, our pastor-to-pastor coming out, our grassroots movement, all the discipleship material that we have coming out to really educate and to disciple and outreach into those around us. So I hope you'll consider that as well. Well, like we say around here, is go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.